Welcome to the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's Big Money Podcast. It's Wednesday, July 25th, and the Democracy Campaign released a report today that shows candidates, special interest groups, and political committees spent an estimated $81 million in the 2012 recall race for governor. Overall, the cost of the 15 races for governor, lieutenant governor, and 13 state senate seats in 2011 and 2012 was about $137.5 million. The Democracy Campaign Review found Republican candidates, electioneering groups, and committees comfortably outspent their Democratic counterparts in the governor's race and the 15 recall races this year and last year overall. With us to talk about the report is Democracy Campaign Executive Director Mike McCabe. Mike, let's start with the governor's race. What are some of the highlights in the report concerning the race for governor that Walker, of course, won?
Well, two things really jump out. One is just the astonishing amounts of money, the sheer volume of cash that flowed into this race. And the other thing is the extraordinary reliance on out-of-state money and the huge amounts of money from people who couldn't even vote in this election that poured into this race to influence its outcome. And overall spending in the governor's race was about $81 million. That is more than double the previous record for the most expensive state election in Wisconsin history. That record, of course, was set in the last election for governor. In 2010, we saw about $37.4 million spent in that race. This one, $81 million, so it more than doubled that record. We also saw a new record set for candidate fundraising. Governor Walker broke his own record. He spent about $36.1 million, raised over $37 million for this race. He raised and spent about $11 million in the 2010 election for governor. That had been the previous record for the biggest haul by any candidate for a state office in Wisconsin. And then when you look at where the money comes from, that's the other thing that really jumps out. If you look at Governor Walker's individual contributors, 64% of the money from individual contributions came from outside Wisconsin, from people who could not vote in this election, but they poured tens of millions of dollars into this race to influence the outcome. And we saw similar heavy reliance by the interest groups that were pouring money in here. So much of that money came from out of state as well. So, you know, of all this money spent in this election, you know, it's safe to say that most of it came from outside Wisconsin. Most of it came from interests who couldn't even cast a ballot in this race.
So he tripled his previous spending record. He went from $11 million in 2010 to roughly $36 million here, and a lot of these large out-of-state contributions helped him do it. Who are some of these contributors? Who can you talk about the top couple, two or three?
Well, if you look at out-of-state, you know, the top one is Bob Perry out of Texas, gave $500,000, you know, and he's in the home building industry, but also is the guy that was behind the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth smear campaign back in the 2004 presidential election. So he's been a longtime political activist as well. Sheldon Adelson, the casino tycoon out of Nevada, gave $250,000. Dick DeVos, whose family founded Amway Corporation, $250,000. He once poured something like $40 million of his own money into a campaign to try to become governor of Michigan. You know, and he's poured huge amounts of money into school privatization efforts and has tried to influence legislative campaigns in Wisconsin and in dozens of states across the country. So, you know, it was interests like that. Foster Free's $100,000. He's from Wyoming, another huge Republican donor. Biggest donor of all, though, actually was an in-state billionaire, Diane Hendricks, from Beloit, gave a total of $510,000 to Governor Walker's campaign. So we just saw huge amounts of money. You go right on down the line, you know, oil baron like Trevor Reese Jones, $100,000. Joe Ricketts, who's part of TDS Ameritrade, you know, he's the head of that family, also the head of the family that now owns the Chicago Cubs, $100,000 there. So there are some very big names on this list. Big national international donors who are pouring huge sums of money into the presidential election, they also jumped in big here in this governor's race.
Now, normally all the guys you cited wouldn't have been able to give this much money. Why were they able to give this much money to Walker in this race?
Ordinarily, the limit on individual donations in a statewide election in Wisconsin is $10,000. You can't give more than $10,000. But there's a quirk in Wisconsin's law that allows donors to give unlimited amounts to public officials targeted for recall. And Governor Walker was able to exploit that loophole for months, from the moment when the recall petition drive is launched to the time when a recall election is actually authorized. There's no limit on campaign fundraising whatsoever. So Governor Walker could raise these unlimited-sized donations right from the beginning of the petition drive, and any bills that came in that were related to that recall process, he could raise unlimited donations to pay those bills. So even after the election was approved and we entered into the actual recall election campaign cycle, he was still getting some of these huge donations to pay those bills that had come in before the election was authorized. So for months, he was able to engage in that unlimited fundraising. If you just look at the people who gave over $50,000 or more, $4.7 million from those donors alone, and we're talking about, you know, a few dozen people who were able to pour in close to $5 million, just those who gave $50,000 or more. And, of course, there were many others who gave over $10,000 and were above the normal limit on campaign contributions to a statewide office here in Wisconsin.
Let's talk about the 2011 and 2012 recall races overall. The Democracy campaign saying the candidates, groups, and others involved in all 15 recalls, the 9 state Senate seats up in 2011 and into 2012, as well as the recalls last month for governor and lieutenant governor, cost about $137.5 million. Can you talk about some of the highlights or the lowlights, depending on your point of view, in the overall spending on the recalls? I mean, there were more spending records broken in these recalls than just in the governor's race, right?
Yeah, obviously in the governor's race you saw the record for the overall cost of the race broken. You saw the individual candidate record broken. We saw the same thing last summer in the Senate recall elections. We saw spending records fall all over the place. And, you know, the most expensive state Senate election before last summer had been about $3 million. Well, we saw one of last summer's Senate recall races run up to $10 million, and we actually saw 6 of the 9 races break that old $3 million record. Well, the most expensive ended up being the 8th Senate district in the Milwaukee area. That one ran up to $10 million. But again, 6 of the races beat that old $3 million record, and a 7th actually came very close, was $2.9 million. So we just saw astonishing sums. Overall, in those 9 Senate recall elections, we saw $44 million spent in just 9 races. And again, the previous record for spending in a Senate race had been $3 million. So, you know, it just astonishing levels of money. We saw candidate fundraising and spending records drop. Again, the candidate who ended up winning that 8th Senate district race in Milwaukee, Alberta Darling, she broke the old record for candidate fundraising and spending. You know, she spent about a little over $1.2 million. But we saw 3 candidates actually break the previous record. It had been just shy of $750,000 was the previous record. We saw 3 candidates, including Alberta Darling, go over that record. So the new spending record is up to $1.2 million now for a state Senate candidate. So again, we saw records galore falling both last summer and then again this year in these recall elections.
There was a massive amount of out-of-state money supporting both Democrats and Republicans in the governor's race and even in some of the Senate races. Why was there so much interest in these races from national unions and out-of-state millionaires and billionaires?
Well, there's no question that these recall elections became something of a national referendum. You know, they got bigger than just being a state election here in Wisconsin. And you saw interests on both sides that decided that Wisconsin was like a domino, and they wanted to make sure that that domino tipped over in a way that favored them, because I think they figured that whichever the way the domino fell, it was going to knock over a lot of other dominoes, and that what happened in Wisconsin could influence what happens in a lot of other states. So they felt like the stakes were very high here. And so, you know, Wisconsin did become something of a pawn on a national chessboard, and this did become something of a national referendum that ended up becoming a magnet for money. Now, overall, Republicans clearly had the spending edge over Democrats. If you look at all the recall elections in 2011 and 2012, Republicans outspent Democrats by about $30 million. And if you look at the governor's race alone, Republicans had about a 2.5 to 1 spending advantage over Democrats. About $59 million was spent on the Republican side, about $22 million on the Democratic side. Now, a lot of that spending wasn't done by the candidates. Obviously, Governor Walker was a looming figure. He spent over $36 million. He was a huge participant in this. But aside from Walker's role, really most of the rest of the money got spent by outside interest groups, and a lot of that money came from out of state. You had groups like Americans for Prosperity and Club for Growth and the Republican Governors Association on the right. RGA spent through something called Right Direction Wisconsin, which was a PAC that it set up. So much of that money came from out of state. But then you look at the Democratic side. You look at groups like We Are Wisconsin and a group called Wisconsin for Falk that was trying to get Kathleen Falk the Democratic nomination, and that was obviously unsuccessful. But We Are Wisconsin raised over $8.3 million from national unions, from unions outside of the state of Wisconsin. And then Wisconsin for Falk got heavy support from WEAC, the state teachers union here in Wisconsin, but also raised close to $1.6 million from out-of-state unions. So they relied really heavily also on national unions. So what we saw here was millionaires and billionaires from outside Wisconsin. We saw big corporations from all across the country. We saw the national unions, many of them based in Washington, D.C., but also a lot of unions in other states outside Wisconsin pouring money into this race, trying to influence the outcome.
Let's talk a little bit more about some of the groups. You hit on some of them and what they did, Wisconsin for Falk, We Are Wisconsin, folks like that. There were other groups, Americans for Prosperity, Republican State Leadership Committee, that kind of engaged in what's known as, I guess, phony issue advertising. Can you talk a little bit about, because you talked a lot about the national union support on the Democratic side, can you talk a little bit about the support behind some of the Republican groups, or can't you? Because there's a lack of transparency problem, isn't there?
Well, there's a lot of money in this recall election for governor that was dark money that can't be traced to its origins. And you know, one of the people, or you know, among the people who gave huge donations directly to Walker, conspicuously absent from that list were the Koch brothers, Charles and David Koch. Well, clearly they poured a lot of money into this race. Americans for Prosperity, by our best estimate, spent about $3.7 million trying to make sure that Governor Walker remained in office. And, of course, Americans for Prosperity is the Koch brothers group, and I don't think there's any question that the Koch brothers poured a huge amount of money in there. They also are on record having given substantial sums, but $1 million or more, to the Republican Governors Association. So they clearly put, you know, probably close to $5 million into this race. But a lot of these groups basically just give money to themselves. They have one arm of their organization giving money to the political committee that ends up doing the spending. So you don't really see the true origins of the money. You don't see what donors, what corporations, or what millionaires or billionaires, or what unions actually give the money. So there's some of this money that can be traced to its source, but there's a lot of this money that ends up being dark money. And, you know, basically in the governor's race, what we saw On the right, we saw Republican Governors Association, through its Right Direction Wisconsin PAC, spending heavily. We saw Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which is the state chamber of commerce here in Wisconsin, spending heavily. And Americans for Prosperity was way up there as well. On the other side, you saw Greater Wisconsin supporting the Democrats, single biggest spender in the governor's race among the Democratic groups. Wisconsin for Falk, which was trying to get Kathleen Falk elected, they were the second biggest spender. And then We Are Wisconsin, which also spent really heavily in the Senate elections. You look overall at 2011 and 2012, We Are Wisconsin is right at the top of the list. That's labor union money. Greater Wisconsin, some labor money, some wealthy individuals, even some corporate money, a lot of money steered to Greater Wisconsin from the National Democratic Governors Association. And on the right, you see Republican Governors Association, Club for Growth, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, Americans for Prosperity. Those were the big spenders in these recall elections. A lot of that money came from outside Wisconsin. Some of it can't be traced to its origins. So we've got a huge disclosure problem that's part of the story here, a lot of dark money.
What does the future hold with the recalls over? You know, the cost of state and legislative campaigns in Wisconsin, as documented for years by the Democracy Campaign, has generally increased from election to election. But the recall spending just blew everything off the charts. Are we going to see enhanced levels of spending or spending increases in regular elections, especially from out-of-state sources from now on? And if that's going to be the case, if you think that's going to be the case, what can be done about it?
Well, my guess is that some of these records that have been set here in 2011 and 2012 are going to stand for a while, because I don't think you're going to regularly see Wisconsin state elections become national referendums. I don't think you're going to see election after election being magnets for this outside money coming in from both coasts and all points in between. I think there was something really unusual about these recall elections. So I'm guessing that these records are going to stand for a while. But having said that, one of the things that really is remarkable is that there just seems to be a bottomless well from which these interests draw money from. And so a lot of people felt like because you saw this massive spending in 2011 that maybe some donor fatigue would set in. And yet we saw much more spent in the recalls in 2012 than in 2011. So, you know, clearly they had plenty of money that they could still tap into. It just seems to be a bottomless well. It's like the only sector of our economy that seems completely recession-proof is the political economy. And you know, you've got the wealthiest 1% that does most of the giving, and they haven't suffered much from the recession, so they seem to have money to burn. And so I think it would be a mistake to think that elections are going to get inexpensive anytime soon. We may see some of these records stand for a while, but we're still going to see insane levels of spending. I think that as far as what to do about it, one of the things that ought to be drawn from all of this is that we need new disclosure laws. I mean, there are these pipelines that have been opened through which huge amounts of money can flow, but so much of that money can't be traced to its origins. We don't have sufficient disclosure laws to let the people of Wisconsin know who exactly is sponsoring all this campaign advertising. Another thing that's clear is that at a bare minimum, the loophole should be closed that allows unlimited fundraising by public officials targeted for recall. And then I think all of this still does scream out for a movement toward public financing of election campaigns. You know, we not only need to let people know where all this money is coming from, and we need to close loopholes that allow for campaign contribution limits to be circumvented, but at some point we've got to come to terms with the fact that all of this money that we're talking about, $81 million in the governor's race, $137.5 million in all these recall elections, if you look at where the money comes from, it comes from a tiny segment of society. The donor population that's giving almost all this money amounts to less than 1% of the population that is giving all this. And we need to come to terms with that, and we need a campaign finance system that puts all of the citizens of Wisconsin back in the driver's seat and doesn't simply allow our elections to be bought by such a tiny cross-section of our society.
Thanks for your comments, Mike. For more information about the candidates, groups, and other details surrounding the 2011 and 2012 recalls, check out the July 25th report on the Democracy Campaign website. Thanks for listening.